Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
College holds a mythic place in American culture. But there are stories you won't hear on the campus tours.
The higher-ups are concerned about one thing, and that is avoiding scandal.
I'm Margot Gray. On the new podcast, Campus Files, we cover everything from rigged admissions to the drama of Greek life and student protests. Listen to and follow Campus Files, an Odyssey original podcast, available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back, everyone. Zach Jones and Derek Kramer hanging here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show on a little bit of an overcast Monday. We've got Stanley Cup Final Game 3 tonight at 8 o'clock. That game is going to also be right here on WGR with coverage beginning at 7:30. And coverage of the Stanley Cup Final is presented by Figo Carr and Joyce, your border attorneys, and brought to you in part by Window Nation, the perfect fit for your home and wallet. We'll get to hockey here in just a little while, but did have some very big baseball this weekend. The Yankees have had a lot of like big time matchups over the last few weeks. Dodgers, they're playing good baseball. They're putting on a good run. Did not have a very good weekend against their biggest rival, Boston Red Sox. Three games, they lose two of them. They give up 10 runs and 11 runs in those losses. And for more on that, we go to the Western Hotline as Sal Marana of the Democrat and Chronicle and publisher of the Pinstripe People's Yankees newsletter joins us here on the show. Sal, good morning. I hope your weekend was not ruined by the Yankees.
Well, they certainly didn't help my weekend. I'll put it
that way.
They tried
their best.
It was not a fun baseball weekend. They just didn't play well. And you know, Boston, no matter how good or bad Boston is, and this year they haven't been very good, they always give the Yankees trouble. And I'm sure Red Sox fans say the same thing about the Yankees. It's just the way the rivalry is. These teams, you know, it isn't the 2003, 4, 5, you know, back then when the rivalry was without question the greatest in sports.
Mm-hmm.
It's cooled off a lot since then. But these teams still like to beat each other. There's no doubt. And the Red Sox got the best of the Yankees. Just a bad weekend for the team that's in first place. And I think last time I talked to you guys last week, if it was last week, whoever it was, you or Sal, the Yankees were seven games up, and all of a sudden they're 4.5 up. They did not have a good week of baseball.
Yeah, it has not played off well for them. Sal, I'm glad you mentioned the quote unquote, you know, the glory years and even that run of rivalries. This weekend, I've watched it before, but on Netflix they have that documentary that is starred by like Theo Epstein for the Red Sox talking about the 2003-04 season. It's weird. I mean, I was a little kid during that, but it is one of those things with that rivalry in particular. Like, those years are so highly talked about. The arms race between the two teams, the rivalries, the playoff matchups. It really is something. I, you know, personally, while yes, was there, was such a little kid, it feels like you had to kind of just be there to understand it, though.
Yeah, that was the best rivalry in baseball, bar none. And like I said, I would argue across all sports, that was at least at that particular time, there was no rivalry in sports that was quite like it. The teams, I mean, it's not too often that teams hate each other, especially in this day and age when these guys all share agents and everything else. I mean, everybody's buddy-buddy these days. But those teams legitimately did not like each other, and it just added drama every time they played. And it also helped that, you know, both teams were great. The Yankees went to the World Series in 2003, the Red Sox went in 2004, and every game they played was like Armageddon. It was so fun to watch it and follow it so closely as I did, obviously. I mean, I did a whole project. Mm-hmm. It wasn't quite a book project. It was an online project about those two seasons. And just amazing games, amazing times. And, you know, hey, maybe we'll get back to there at some point. I don't know, this kid for the Red Sox yesterday, the rookie pitcher.
I saw, yeah.
He's saying if the Yankees were the last team in the world, I would retire before I signed with them. Well, stuff like that, you know, fuels a little bit of the rivalry. Maybe it comes back. I don't know if it'll ever get back to where it was. But, yeah, Boston and New York, they don't like each other pretty much in anything, and especially Yankees, Red Sox.
And they did have three games this weekend. As we mentioned, the Yankees lost two of them, the final two as well. And so, yeah, you know, Sal, jump into this, because I saw you say, like, you even said it just here, it was a bad week of baseball. What has happened with the Yankees? I mean, I saw a Judge, had two home runs last night as well. Is it just the pitching has not been well there? I mean, 10, 11 runs in two straight games, not good.
Yeah, I mean, the thing is, guys, they had pitched really well this season. I mean, in spring training, when they lost Gerrit Cole and then Luis Gil, and then Clark Schmidt wasn't even going to be healthy for the start of the year, I did not have high hopes, A, for the pitching staff, and B, for the team in general. I didn't know how they were going to overcome that. And they have played and pitched way above my expectations so far this year. But this past weekend, it all kind of hit home that they are fragile in certain areas, especially in their rotation. You know, Will Warren, who got the win on Friday but didn't pitch well. Clark Schmidt is inconsistent. And then on the weekend, you know, Ryan Yarbrough, he's been a great story for the Yankees. But as I wrote in the newsletter this morning, that was a game I kind of figured he was going to get lit up. Because remember, the Red Sox have seen him a ton when he played for Tampa Bay. All of his junk and off-speed stuff wasn't going to fool them. And they lit him up. I mean, it was ugly. And then Sunday, Carlos Rodon had been great. And he was actually really good the first 4 2/3 innings. And then it all fell apart. So, yeah, the Red Sox unmasked some underlying problems that the Yankees have. And their bullpen, too, was just not good. They don't have Luke Weaver for the next at least month. And that knocks everyone up a notch that maybe they shouldn't be up, right? I mean, that's the case the Yankees are dealing with. And they got bad performances up and down the bullpen all weekend.
And speaking of the weekend and the Red Sox as well, it's not a long wait for them to play each other again. You guys get Kansas City for three games this week, and then it's back to it Friday, Saturday, Sunday, this time just in Boston. Do you like that, or do you like a little bit more breathing room between these games?
Well, yeah, it's fine. It's a little surprising that it took until the first weekend in June for them to meet for the first time this year. You'd like to see them, you know, maybe once a month. You know, they play four times, actually. So, you know, once every month would be fine. But this is fine. This actually, guys, this is how you kind of get the rivalry going again, mm-hmm. right? When you play all these games almost in a row, things stay fresh in your mind. I guarantee you the Yankees are going to go to Fenway next week. They might see this Dobbins kid, I guess, if the rotation's lined up. Maybe he'd pitch Saturday in Fenway. So they're going to see the kid again. Hey, another opportunity to shove it down his throat. So, yeah, I think it might be actually good for rivals to play so many games in a short period of time.
Sal Mariano joining us on the Western Hotline here. Sal, the last time I asked this question a month ago, the Rockies doubled their win total. There wasn't even a win against the Yankees. Credit to them there. I'm still fascinated with what it is about the Rockies, but they sweep a series with the Marlins. You see the very sad state of affairs there with the stadium in Florida. And it got one of our own, Brian Colesfield, to really start asking this question on Saturday of, like, what would happen if, for example, the Marlins were to move, for example, be relocated here to up to Buffalo or something of the sort, and more or less, like, it's the bad or sorry state, I should say, of small market teams in the MLB. Are we looking at, in like a couple of years, the trajectory of where there might be some sort of salary cap that has to be introduced because of the way that the small market teams, their life, their window of life with competitiveness is very small and very infrequent?
Yeah, I hear that talk all the time about salary cap. I just don't think it would work in baseball, quite frankly. I don't think they need a salary cap. What they need is for these billionaire owners, and every owner in MLB is a billionaire. to start spending money. Now, I understand there are small markets like Pittsburgh, and they don't have the same revenue streams that the Yankees and Red Sox do, you know, the big market teams. But you know what? These guys are all billionaires. Go spend the money. If you want to win, spend money and make your team, you know, competitive. And these guys refuse to do that. Now, I will say in Colorado, the owner there, Dick Monfort, he has spent money. Problem with the Rockies is they've just spent it terribly.
Yeah.
I mean, just awful. I mean, Nolan Arenado is a great player, but that was a ridiculous contract that they gave him. And then they go out and get Chris Bryant a couple of years ago, who, you know, I'm also a Cubs fan. He'll be a hero forever to Cubs fans because of the 2016 World Series. But that he was in no way worth what the Rockies gave him, and he's been, you know, a below-average player ever since. They've spent money poorly, which is part of their problem. Pittsburgh just won't spend any money. Same with the Marlins. The Marlins constantly just want to tear it down and try to make money the cheap way, and you can't really do that. So I don't think a salary cap fixes it. I think they need more proactive owners who care about winning and then go out and spend money properly and build your team that way.
Maybe a salary floor should be proposed then, like a cap floor.
That wouldn't be a terrible idea because, you know, with the revenue sharing in baseball, you know, the big market teams like the Yankees, the Dodgers, who spend over the luxury tax, you know, then all that money gets filtered down to these small market teams, and they're just putting it in their pocket. You know, if they would take the money that they get every year from revenue sharing because the big market teams are always above the luxury tax and actually spent that on their team, maybe they would be more competitive rather than putting it into their pocket so they can go develop land around the ballpark or, you know, spend it on other ventures that they have. Spend it on your team and maybe you'd win some more games.
I like the idea of the salary.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9 to 5 for a 5 to 9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Service is not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
College holds a mythic place in American culture, but there are stories you won't hear on the campus tours.
The higher-ups are concerned about one thing, and that is avoiding scandal.
I'm Margo Gray. On the new podcast, Campus Files, we cover everything from rigged admissions to the drama of Greek life and student protests. Listen to and follow Campus Files, an Odyssey original podcast. Available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Floor too, because I, you know, I'm sitting here wondering too how much of an appetite baseball would have for a salary cap, especially when your big markets, the big, you know, draws are the ones winning. Like, it's not like they're having an issue where it's like, oh man, all right, Miami and Pittsburgh are the only teams that are winning. You know, the Yankees are terrible, Dodgers suck. No, I mean, the Dodgers, Yankees, Boston, Chicago, Detroit now as well this year, like, they're all really competitive. They're good. They're spending money. I think the salary floor might be the one that they'd be interested in. Salary cap, don't hamstring the big teams that are getting in all the ratings for you. I think that's probably where baseball would sit with it.
You just said exactly what I was going to say. Don't think for a second that MLB isn't thrilled that the Yankees, the Dodgers, the Mets, the Phillies, the Cubs, these are all playoff teams right now. Those are the big markets. Those are the ones that, you know, like you said, draw the ratings and make the money. They love, I mean, the NBA right now. I mean, I don't follow the NBA at all. I could care less. But I do know enough that Indiana and Oklahoma City are playing in the finals, and those are two small market teams that I'm sure the NBA is like, oh man, why can't it be Lakers, Knicks, or Celtics? And you know what I mean? I mean, I'm sure they're not exactly thrilled. Same with the NHL, man. I mean, Edmonton, great story. Connor McDavid, You really think the NHL is thrilled that it's Edmonton and Miami or Florida, whatever, you know? I mean, really, are they thrilled by that? Probably not. They would love to have the Leafs against, you know, whoever in the West. I mean, it's just MLB loves the fact that their big market teams are the best teams in the sport.
Kind of shows you why the NFL is king, because it's cute when small market teams like a Kansas City have a run of dominance, and Buffalo is a top tier team, and the NFL is able to not only survive but thrive pitching those teams out there. The NFL being king is one of those things. And I think that's the best transition I'm going to get for this one, Sal, of minicamp starting tomorrow for the Buffalo Bills. I hate having to talk about a James Cook storyline. It could end effectively tomorrow if he shows up. But other than that, or if that is your main focus, what's the big thing you're looking for Bills minicamp starting up tomorrow?
Yeah, nothing.
Yes.
As I've said to you guys probably, and anybody who asks me, I think all of this off-season stuff is a bunch of nonsense. I mean, I understand why they have to do it, but I take nothing from it. I don't care about anything that happens in these touch football practices. As long as nobody gets hurt doing something, that's really all I care about when it comes to this stuff. So, yeah, wake me up when training camp starts and things start becoming real, when, you know, the season is upon us. Now you've got to pick your roster. There's competition. That's what I'm waiting for. So, yeah, to me, the James Cook storyline is really the only thing that I'll be looking for, except for whatever Josh tells us about his wedding. That'll be fun if he shares a few details about how much fun that was. Otherwise, I'm sorry, guys.
No,
I'm the curmudgeon in the room when it comes to covering the Bills beat. All the guys know it. You know, they're all into this, you know, mini camps and OTAs and tweeting this and that. I just don't care about any of it until July 23rd or 4th, whatever it's going
to
be.
Sal, I don't think you realize you and Derek are basically on the exact same wavelength here.
I was going to say, did you listen to me last segment? What happened here?
Yeah, it's just, you know, we in the media are partially to blame for it too.
For sure.
Because we decided somewhere along the way that this was all important stuff and had to be covered wall to wall. And, you know, we play a role in it, but the NFL eats the attention up. And I just kind of don't want to give it the attention. I'm all over this beat from the end of July until whenever the Bills are done. I get back on it, you know, with free agency and the draft. But this period right here, this OTA minicamp stuff, really makes me want to scream sometimes.
It is a absolute grind.
I'm just so happy I'm not alone. Thank you for my validation here, Sal.
Well, I'll tell you what, we are on our own island though, because
I know it's not media, popular.
So many in the media think it's important and great, and I know the fans eat it up. I mean, that's partially why we do it, is because the fans will read and watch and listen to anything we put out there. And then trash your opinion along the way, of course. So it's all part of it. It's all part of it,
that's,
and I get it. I'm just telling you that it is not the favorite part of my year.
And then here's me, like, I'm waiting with bated breath on the first Elijah Moore tweet. Yep. That's all I need. That's all I need to get through the week.
That's why I said it, and I'm glad that I've got Sal in my corner on this one. Sal, it's going to be a lonely fight, but here we are.
Yep, we are. We're on our own on this one, but I'm okay. I'll die on that hill if I have to.
All right, Sal, thanks so much for jumping on with us. Enjoy the week. We'll talk again soon.
All right, guys, take care.
That was Sal Marana on the West Her Hotline of the Democrat and Chronicle. He also, of course, does have his Yankees pinstripe newsletter. Let me get that pinstripe of the People Yankees newsletter. Yankees, of course, by the time he'll next be on the show with Sal on Monday, will have played the Red Sox again, which I agree with Sal's point there as well. I want to get his thoughts on, like, you know, hey, there's really no room to breathe here. You guys have a Kansas City series and then they're back at it. But he's right. I mean, like, that's how you get the rivalry going. It's how you have the storylines that stay in the media. A lot of fun there as well. And Derek, I'm really glad you're not alone.
And I don't, like, I'm glad I've got someone that shares the opinion on it. I mean, but the thing is that I also do know that I have a job to do. And
right, I got to cover it. It doesn't mean I have to be happy about
Sal
it.
Sal did say, we are part of the problem. And yeah, I know, and I'm going to have to keep doing it. But you know what? It is what it is at this point.
We'll get through it. You'll get through it.
We'll all get through
it. Again, I see an Elijah Moore tweet, I'm going to pop off.
I know. I'm just here to tell you to calm down.
803-0550, the number to call. Do want to jump on the Stanley Cup Finals as well. We talked a little bit there about the ratings with Sal, but these first two games have been exceptional. We'll talk about Game 3 coming up tonight after a quick timeout. Zach Jones, Derek Kramer, you're listening to the Northtown Automotive Edge Point Show right here on WGR.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
College holds a mythic place in American culture, but there are stories you won't hear on the campus tours.
The higher-ups are concerned about one thing, and that is avoiding scandal.
I'm Margot Gray. On the new podcast, Campus Files, we cover everything from rigged admissions to the drama of Greek life and student protests. Listen to and follow Campus Files, an Odyssey original podcast, available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.